The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My, oh my, what a busy hour we have ahead of you here on the Buckmaster Show. My buddy, Tom Fairbanks, he's my friend-geneer. He's the engineer and producer for the program. And together, we welcome you to the show. It's Thursday, the 4th of June, 2020. Tom, it's far too early for this kind of heat. This is usually late June. I think normally our temperature should be around 95 degrees. We're pushing a record today if we hit 107.
And tomorrow as well.
And tomorrow.
Yeah, this heat, excessive heat warning is in effect until 8 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
So, but there is a silver lining, if you want to call it that, at least.
What's that?
We're going to be in the upper 90s by Saturday, and that's going to last at least through Tuesday.
Very good. I'll have to get out my long underwear for that. It's Buckmaster, where we practice safe distancing while bringing people together in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk Worldwide Live Listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback with kvoi.com to give you that live stream. We have all of our programs, podcast available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Steve Christie, District 4 Pima County Supervisor, with us for his monthly visit. He appears on the Buckmaster Show the first Thursday of the month, which it is. Supervisor Christie with us now. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Great to be with you.
It's good to be with you. I was just given this, I got a tip on this. Just this story just moved on Tucson 4 minutes ago. Looks like just very shortly a time ago, 17 employees have tested positive for COVID-19 at Tucson's 9/11 dispatch center. And that's not good news, is it, Steve Christie?
I don't know if it has to do with symptomatic or is it just general testing that is discovering these incidents. That's a city of Tucson facility, but certainly if it's of such a nature that it requires hospitalization and work time away from work and convalescence, yeah, it's not necessarily a good thing, that's for sure.
11 of the positive cases were asymptomatic, while 8 others were sent home as they awaited test results, according to an email obtained by the Arizona Daily Star. Do you think the governor, we have had a spike in cases, you don't foresee the governor reinstituting restrictions, do you, Steve Christie?
I don't. I think he has been had his finger on the pulse of this quite effectively for some time. He's got a staff, I think, that's very knowledgeable in this whole epidemic area and arena, and he has utilized their expertise, watched the trajectories. I think he has a different set of trajectories that prompt his decisions than the news releases that we're seeing. He looks, I believe, at hospitalizations, at respirators, those who are denoted to have the coronavirus as a result of testing but may not be showing any symptoms. So I'm very confident that how he is handling the situation is more than adequate. I get daily updates on situational awareness reports from various agencies. And in each edition, which is on, as I say, daily, there's always this statement that if there is another surge or another spike or whatever the term is that is the term du jour regarding a higher reoccurrence of this virus, that the state of Arizona is in an excellent position to handle any such rise in the cases as far as ICU, staffing of ICU beds, hospital beds, medical technicians manned for this purpose. So I'm quite certain that he's monitoring this, and I do not see or predict that he's going to do anything to restrict any more economic openings, and that he's in full command of the situation.
Well, apparently restrictions will stay in the city of Tucson if Steve Kasachek has his way. Councilman Kasachek announced here 24 hours ago on our program, Steve Christie, that he will ask the mayor and his fellow council people to extend what they currently have in place, the restrictions. Those were supposed to be lifted, that phase one reopening supposed to have been lifted June 8th, and Councilman Kasachek wants them to continue indefinitely. What is the situation with the county? Are there any restrictions other than the very highly publicized stuff with the restaurants? Are there any other restrictions that that are in place, Steve Christie?
Well, we don't want to minimize those restrictions that the county board of supervisors passed as far as inhibiting business owners and restaurants. They're very substantial and significant. But other than that, our restrictions are lifted and lifted with care and consideration. Every day I come into my office, I'm checked with a wellness check. I'm proud to say my temperature is reptilian. I am looking forward to a continuation of a relaxation of restrictions and the opening up of our economy. You know, what the city council is considering that you just referenced is indicative of their whole approach and the approach that they've had on this whole pandemic issue. And I'm still amazed to this day at the lack of empathy, the lack of understanding, the lack of sympathy that the city council and my Democrat colleagues on the Board of Supervisors lack for business owners, for restaurants, for gyms, for resorts, for any kind of foundational industry that has made Pima County what it is. They just have never expressed a concern or an understanding of what a business owner is faced with and what they are causing business owners to go through. And, you know, they're very concerned about making people feel safe and making sure that if restaurants open, that before the customers come in, that they're made sure that those customers have gotten all the safeguards. But yet there's never been a discussion by any of these folks as to the damage and the devastation that they've done and that they continue to do on the small business owners in general, and on restaurants and gyms and barbershops and things of this nature, mom-and-pop stores. I would like to see some kind of acknowledgement of the pain and suffering that someone who runs, owns, and operates a business and maybe has for generations is going through, and I don't see any of that.
Well, I asked Councilman Kasachek about a resolution condemning what went on Friday night with the looting. Well, I guess some have corrected me. They say, Bill, it wasn't looting. It was vandals. Okay, the vandalism. And he said that he and Nikki Lee issued a statement denouncing it. But I don't think we've heard, and the mayor did say something, I guess, at her news conference. But I'm wondering about Pima County. Are all five members of the board on the same page here, and there should there be some unified voice saying we condemn what went on in downtown Tucson that caused at least $200,000 damage, but the figure will probably go a lot higher. You can't put a number on the people now who will be afraid to go back to downtown Tucson. So shouldn't there be one voice from Pima County saying this should not have happened?
I would agree. I, first of all, I would love to see some sort of a unified voice from the Board of Supervisors on any issue, but particularly on this one. You know, our community, our society, our country has not even had an opportunity to reflect or grieve on what was the atrocity of what was perpetrated upon George Floyd. And before we even got to that point where we could really be introspective and look at the damage that that incident caused, it devolved into chaos. And I'm sorry there's no other word to use, but it was chaos in many cities in this country. We had our own share of it here in downtown Tucson. The people that are suffering the most as a result of that chaos are the very ones that are supposed to be held up as an example of whatever perpetrations have been inflicted upon them. And here we've got this basic reopening of our economy where, as I pointed out earlier, these businesses have been struggling and the devastation has been so severe. And then not only does Pima County put more restrictions on them as far as their ability to operate, we're faced with this vandalism and damage and looting and wholesale out-of-control behavior. And the ones that suffer the most are the ones that have been suffering the most. It would be nice to have some kind of a unified voice from Pima County saying that we believe that peaceful protesting on this issue is appropriate, but it should not devolve into vandalism, looting, and chaos and crime. And that would, I think, be very helpful. I have to say, I think many members of our community agree with that approach, and it would be great to have that message emanate in a unified form from the Board of Supervisors.
Perhaps you could bring that up at the next board meeting.
Perhaps I can, and perhaps I will.
Okay. We'll take our break right here. I want to talk with Steve Christie about rebuilding this economy. The good news is we're starting to get some tourism back. Tucson International Airport had their best day since March 28th, I believe, within the last few days. It's nowhere near, of course, what people traveling through the airport, what it was like a year ago, but things are starting to return. I'm going to talk to Steve Christie about how we bring this economy back locally after we take our break. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. all of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Steve Christie, Republican, representing Supervisorial District Number 4, with us on the live line, as is Rick Grinnell, who called us at 790-2040. Rick, you have a comment or question for Supervisor, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, I find it rather hypocritical of the state and the local jurisdictions for sitting there and supporting the peaceful protests, which I agree with, but then turning around and penalizing the very businesses that are there to try to make a living and pay the taxes to keep our government working, number one. And number two, I don't know very many elected officials willing to bypass or relinquish their pay, whether it's private or government pay, while private businesses are just taking a beating across the board. And I'm talking about pretty much everybody across the board. And Steve, I don't know, I don't tell people how to do things with their own money. That's not my job. But I find it rather hypocritical for them to, on one hand, support something which is a noble cause and yet turn around and oppose the very noble causes of trying to run your own business. I'll leave it there, gentlemen.
Thank you, Rick. Good to hear from you. Go ahead, Steve Christie.
Well, as I pointed out earlier, there is this total lack of understanding, lack of empathy, lack of acknowledgement about how businesses have suffered during this shutdown and this imposition of regulations and rules on how they put businesses into effect. It really is a very hypocritical situation because they're more concerned with elements that aren't going to open up our economy. They're more concerned about keeping control over businesses because their whole message, as far as I'm concerned, has been that business cannot be trusted to do the right thing. And I think that's the most severe element of their lack of empathy or acknowledgement that the members of the Tucson City Council and my colleagues on the board are positing. And if they only knew what it's like to have to deal with all of the things that a business has to deal with, they might have a different perspective of what they're trying to inflict upon them. So it doesn't make sense. It is hypocritical. And, I've been fighting this battle on the Board of Supervisors for some weeks now, and the responses that I get from my Democrat colleagues are, well, that's just the way it is, or we're not out of the woods yet, so we're going to have to keep these businesses with our hands tying the businesses' hands behind their back. So it is a very difficult thing for me as a former business owner for many decades to try to deal with and fathom. And the only thing I can do is continue what I've been doing, and that's to be an advocate and champion for businesses and small businesses.
Tourism apparently is starting to come back, Steve.
Well, I'm glad to see that. And, of course, that's one of the foundational industries that has made Pima County what it is. But we also have our restaurants and our eateries and our gastronomy and all of the great things with our resorts and spas. Those are the foundations that have gotten Pima County to where they are today. And everybody keeps saying we need to go to the next level. We need to reach on beyond relying on food and golf courses and restaurants and resorts. But when the things that will allow us to go on to the next level to increase economic development and attract different sources and funding areas that would attract businesses, we can't do that when our foundations are being attacked and are being destroyed right before our very eyes. So right now we have to go back a step or two and make sure that we protect what has brought us to this point, and that is allowing our restaurants, our small businesses, our resorts, our spas, our golf courses to reopen. A couple of things that we have in the works here that I think are helpful. A friend of mine, Bert Williams, who owns Williams and Associates, he has been specializing in selling personal protective equipment, and he's put these little street signs, street level signs, all around where his business is located, and he has suffered greatly from this pandemic. His business is off 50% from where it was a year ago, and he has admitted that his business is losing money. But with the advent of putting up these signs and advertising that he sells PPE, he says he's received an automatic increase of roughly an additional 25% of what he's lost. And now he's finding out that the city of Tucson is going around and taking these signs down because apparently they're in some sort of code violation. And he's pleading, don't you think they could give us a break for a little while at least until we get out of this mess that my signs could stay up, because they are definitely attributable to his ability to increase his business. Now that's one. There's another incident that's coming up. The Development Services Department of Pima County has an annual 2% increase to cover its cost in the form of licenses and fees and things of that nature. They're going to waive that for at least a year, any increases in those fees. That is a good, smart step in the right direction. And then also every 10 years, The roadway construction developmental fees or impact fees that the construction industry has to deal with, they have to come up for renewal. There's going to be, in some areas, some increases, some areas they're not, but overall there's probably going to be some increases in those fees. The county has determined that they're going to spread those impact fees and stagger them over a time period yet to be determined, to give relief to the housing industry and to the construction industry about having to pay those impact fees. So those are some very positive steps towards revitalization.
All right. Thank you, Steve Christie. Have a great day. Thanks.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Green Things been around for 50 years. 50 years and still growing at 3384 East River Road, a beautiful 13-acre site. A great place for you to pursue your gardening habit and hobby that actually a hobby that many people took up during the shutdown. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals and more. Check it out. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com for more information. Joining us now from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of the very famous Shoemaker-Levy 9. That's the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. Dr. Levy, I presume.
Yes, hello, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. One other thing that I could add to your amazing resume, you are the biographer for the astronomer Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered Pluto. He died in 1997 at the age of 90.
Yes, he died that year, which was just a couple of months before Wendy and I were married.
Wow.
And our marriage is now 23 years old and doing well. And we're managing to stay much at home during this very sad and tragic year. But we're managing okay. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well, managing as well as possible, trying to keep a positive attitude here on the radio while still maintaining safe distancing. And I have come into work every day, with the exception of a day or two around Memorial Day. And I sit here alone in the studio, but I can see my friend Tom Fairbanks in the control room on the other side of the glass, so we're safe and sound here. So getting back to Mr. Tomball, you had something you wanted to say about a variable star.
He did discover a planet. He discovered a comet. He discovered many asteroids. But the thing that I think that he should be most famous for is his discovery of a variable star. It's now known as Tombaugh's star. It's in the constellation of Corvus the Crow. And Tombaugh, being such a good punster, he always would say it gave him something to crow about.
What is a variable star, David Levy?
And then he also said that it almost turned him into a raven maniac.
What is
a variable star? Is simply a star that changes in brightness. And this one kind of sits by itself around maybe 20th magnitude, which is totally invisible, even with my photographic telescope. And as it's sitting, it's consisting of two stars, a white dwarf star and a brown dwarf star. And the two stars together take up less space than are the diameter of our sun, and they revolve around each other in about 90 minutes. Anyway, the brown star donates material and forms a disk around the white star, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until finally the disk can't go anymore and it explodes. And on March the 23rd, 1990, I noticed the first of many explosions of that star. And so it was announced and added as a variable star then. And it's since become my favorite variable star. I've seen it explode on another day on March 23rd. And on another time, a third time, I was watching when it was just starting to go into outburst. And I was able to take multiple pictures, out of which I made a little movie. So I was giving this lecture at the American Association of Variable Star Observers, and I started playing the movie. And I let him watch it for a minute or so, and I said, okay, I'm going to turn off the movie now and continue. I almost got meleeed by the group. They said, no, keep running that movie as long as your talk goes. And so I did. They loved it. Arthur C. Clarke, Stanley Kubrick, take a seat. This is the movie.
There you go. Well, we've had some good viewing nights, right? Very dark skies lately.
Hold on a second. I'm having trouble hearing you.
All right. I was just saying that why don't we move on to the wonderful launch that was exciting to view that last Saturday. I'm sure you viewed it as well.
Oh, of course we did. We tried to see it on Wednesday, but it was pretty cloudy. I didn't think it was going to take off on Saturday because the forecast was terrible. But they had a break in the clouds, and they took it off. They launched. It was a beautiful launch. And now the two astronauts are safely at the space station, and where they'll be for at least a month. It's really been a very interesting time to see this country back into the launching business. And I hope it stays that way now.
Let's go on now to the David Levy quote of the month.
Okay, this time we're going to Alfred Noyes. He wrote a poem, Watchers of the Sky. And he read it, or at least part of it, when the 100-inch telescope on Mount Wilson Observatory was opened. And it goes like this. Tomorrow night, so wrote their chief, we try our great new telescope, the 100-inch. Your Milton's optic tube has grown in power since Galileo, famous, blind, and old, talks with him in that prison of the sky. We creep to power by inches. Europe trusts her giant 40 still. Even tonight, our own old 60 has its work to do. And now our 100-inch, I hardly dare to think what this new muzzle of ours may find.
The new muzzle.
Yeah, this is a poem written by Alfred Noyes, who was present at the opening of the 100-inch. It's amazing that they were able to think of the poetry of the situation that night.
And when was that?
It was in 1918. It was the year my mom was born.
Wow.
And that was the largest telescope on Earth until it was replaced by the 200-inch at Palomar in 1948, the year I was born. And now there are telescopes larger than that. But those two are still wonderful, wonderful telescopes.
All right, David Levy, dark spring skies have been pretty good for you lately?
Yeah, they have been, and we've had a lot of clear night, and I'm still out there, like last night, watching Tombaugh star, as I always do. It has become my favorite variable star. And I'm still out there, still looking for comets.
Very good. Keep at it. David Levy, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you in July. Where this year has gone, who knows? Crazy year.
Okay.
Thanks, David.
Okay, you take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. Stay well. David Levy with us. Coming up next, attorney Don Luce. Talk a little bit about this first ever statewide curfew in Arizona. What is the legal justification for it? We'll talk with our legal contributor, Mr. Luce, right after we take the break on Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. One of the nice things this time of year about a road trip over to Silver City is it's cooler. The elevation 5,000 to 7,000 feet, And you can figure like, well, it's probably 10 degrees, roughly 10 degrees cooler over there. What a beautiful weekend. They are calling for highs in the mid-80s. Sounds like some great temperatures to get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Good starting place. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We are joined now by attorney Don Luce on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we have some we are living through some history in the state of Arizona. For the first time in the state's history, the governor has imposed a statewide week-long curfew. So this is really of historic a historic precedent, isn't it, Don Luce?
It is. And in fact, in recognition of this segment's sponsor, we could go to Silver City, New Mexico, and we would not be subject to a curfew. But anywhere in the state of Arizona, we are subject to a limited curfew. I think, as your listeners know, the curfew will remain in effect until June 8th at 5 a.m., and it prohibits people from gathering in public places from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. Every day until June 8th. So it's statewide in scope. It applies to public places and public gatherings. And the governor has issued it pursuant to an emergency declaration that he issued on May 31st.
Tell us a little bit about these emergency declarations. Just how much power does a governor have in circumstances like this?
All right. So let me start by giving you the statutory authority. The Arizona legislature has given the governor the authority to proclaim a state of emergency if the governor finds that circumstances described in paragraph 15 of section 26301 exists. So if you go to paragraph 15, what you'll find is that a state of emergency means the duly proclaimed existence of conditions of disaster or of extreme peril to the safety of persons or property within Arizona caused by, and then there are a number of causes, and then the last one says, or other causes. So the governor, in issuing his emergency declaration, relied upon that statute and specifically found that the disturbances that occurred on May 29th in the city of Tucson and on May 30th in downtown Phoenix and in downtown Tucson and in downtown Scottsdale at the Scottsdale Fashion Square Mall, those circumstances constituted sufficient cause under the statute for him to be able to proclaim a state of emergency. So that's the first step. Now, during a state of emergency, the governor has complete authority over all state agencies, and he has the right to exercise within the entire state all police power vested in the state of Arizona by the Constitution. The governor has the authority to direct all agencies of the state to utilize their resources to carry out the mandate that is contained in the emergency declaration. So as you can see, Bill, this is a very, very wide and broad authority that the governor is granted if he finds and declares that there is extreme peril to the safety of persons located within the state of Arizona from virtually any cause, and in this case, the causes that he cited were the civil disturbances in Tucson, Phoenix, and Scottsdale.
I'm sure some historian will go back, Don Luce, and go over these the quantity of the emergency declarations, because there have been quite a few when you take into consideration all the COVID-19. Now, this one, who knows? The historians may find, and it wouldn't surprise me, that this governor in this very short amount of time has issued more emergency declarations than any other previous governor in the state.
Well, I think it's unprecedented, and I know that word has been used a lot lately, but in this case, I think it's apropos. I think it's unprecedented that we've had back-to-back, essentially, stay-at-home orders from the governor. The first order was in the formative executive order on March 23rd, and everyone will remember that pursuant to that order, people were ordered to stay at home and non-essential businesses were ordered to close. And you'll remember, because we discussed it, barbershops and beauty salons initially were declared to be essential businesses and were to remain open. But then you had mayors, specifically the mayor of Flagstaff, who said, no, beauty shops and barbershops are places where COVID-19 can be easily transmitted. And so despite their inclusion on the list of essential businesses, we are not going to allow those businesses to stay open within the city of Flagstaff, which was contrary to the executive order that the governor issued. That order expired a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, last weekend, we saw the implementation of this emergency declaration, which similarly requires people essentially to stay at home between the hours of 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. It's statewide. And interestingly, we now have cities and counties in the state of Arizona who, somewhat like the mayor of Flagstaff did with the previous executive order, have said we're not going to enforce that order. We don't believe that the emergency exists within our county or within our city, and so therefore we are not going to enforce the curfew. And, if you're in that city or in that county, the sheriff or the city police department will not arrest you for being on the street after 8 p.m.
Yeah, you had the sheriffs in Yuma County, Navajo County, Greenlee, and Santa Cruz County have said no to the governors, that saying they would not enforce this. You kind of wonder why the governor took it to a statewide when the center of the activity, the looting and the vandalism, was Tucson and Phoenix, Scottsdale. You would have thought it would have been more appropriate for saying a curfew for Pima County and Maricopa County. I don't know. It just seems kind of odd that he would go with the full statewide curfew.
Well, I had the same thought, Bill. And so I did a brief amount of research to see what other cities or states might have similar curfews. And I was only able to find Arizona as being the entire state that had a curfew. Now, granted, there are dozens of cities across the nation that have imposed curfews. Detroit, Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio, Atlanta, Georgia. But on a statewide basis, this is very extraordinary. And the criticism of this particular declaration is that, as you pointed out, these protests, which became civil disturbances, only occurred in three cities, Tucson, Phoenix, and Scottsdale. The cities have the ability to declare curfews on their own. The state, in this case, stepped in and declared a statewide curfew. And in so doing, the governor said that he did it at the request of local leaders and in coordination with state and local law enforcement. Interestingly, the mayors of both the cities of Phoenix and Tucson have said that they didn't even talk to the governor or his office before the curfew was implemented. And in fact, both mayors who are Democrats have said, at least publicly reported, they've said that they haven't spoken to the governor in quite a while. And so you're led to wonder politically why, to your question, the governor would impose a statewide curfew as opposed to targeting those parts of the state that were really subject to the civil unrest that we saw last weekend.
Wow. Never a shortage of things to talk about, right, Don Luce? Don, we're out of time, but I do want to tell people about your two very important and popular books, both available. I suppose Amazon would be a great starting place.
Yeah, perfect starting place.
Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don Luce, all the best to you and yours. Stay safe. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Bill, and the same to you.
Thanks a lot. Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show contributor on the law. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, we will have Chuck Huckleberry in studio with us, along with Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. So we'll be reinstituting here on a somewhat limited basis, reintroducing live studio guests, where the show has been all telephonic really since mid-March. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.